Yes, no, just we just always drop it in, whatever. It doesn't matter what's happening. Waiting, you can be aware of waiting. You can be, I'm really spacing out. You can be aware of that. You can be aware of rushing. Just that global awareness. Just get more and more familiar with it, more at ease with it. I just wanted to say a few things about mindfulness of thoughts. And then we sit, and then after that, we can have a little discussion period. So, as you're, I'm sure, know, thinking thoughts is simply one of the six sense experiences. So, thoughts arising and passing is just nature. That's what the mind does, and meditation, at least Vipassana meditation, is not about trying to stop thoughts. And so in this particular style, if we're just, as thoughts are simply an object of awareness, an experience of awareness, same as sounds or sensations or seeing, same as anything else. But that's often, of course, they're trickier, right? You're so much more likely to identify, get lost in thoughts. And for many of us with meditation experience, I mean, we have different relationships to thoughts, but it's quite common that in terms of mindfulness of thoughts, it can be the obvious or the subtext motivation that we're giving awareness to thought to make it go away. And often feel so, well, I was mindful of the thought, but it kept on coming. You know, we do that about pain too, anything. I'm mindful of it, but it keeps happening. And mindfulness isn't to stop what's happening. It's simply to recognize what's happening as it is. So awareness, being awareness of thought, can be interesting. It can be challenging. We can get more skilled at it too. So you can might just recognize a little thought come, just to a little nothing thought, you know, a little thought, today is Sunday. But maybe then, if that doesn't have any big emotional charge for you, if it does, don't think that one. Think another one. Think, I don't know, think it's November. Think the sun is out today. Just think one thought, see how it just comes and goes. Elephants are gray. The little thought, it comes and goes. And so sometimes when in a sitting, a walking, or going through, when there's not a big charge and the mind, the awareness is a little bit steady, you can just see thoughts coming and going. You don't glom onto them. Awareness doesn't have to glom onto them. Not Joseph used to use the example, I don't think he does anymore, it's a little extra, of like, you know, shooting them down. Okay, that's not what we're doing. We're just noticing. Often a little like, oh, elephants are gray, it's gone. Awareness keeps noticing, it's gone, fine. Other times, of course, as we're sitting or walking here, when we're a little more aware and quieter, certainly some thoughts have much more charge, or they just keep coming with a lot of oomph. Or they come and we keep noticing awareness has been lost and we're just sucked into the content, right? We all know that. So, as I've said, the moment we notice, oh, thinking about the beach in Bali, in that moment recognizing awareness is here again. You don't have to go down the road and think about why was I thinking about it? Nothing, because it's nothing personal. This is just the nature. So, okay, the beach in Bali, la, 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 oh, yeah, thinking's happening. It may be that that particular image, daydream, goes away. It may be not. We're being aware of it not to make something happen, but just to recognize what's happening as it is. So it can be, at times, that a thought's recognized and it can keep running and awareness can be with it. Not try to do that, but that can happen. I find that particularly with visual thoughts. So a mental image is also thought energy. I tend to have a lot of visual thoughts. But sometimes even with the verbal ones, the elephant is gray, they live in Africa. You know, that's just, sometimes you can just, awareness can just watch the thoughts coming and going, coming and going, kind of like a movie. Visual thoughts, I've had whole, it's almost like a whole daydream going on, but there's awareness, really knowing and kind of seeing as the whole thing goes. Fine. Other times it stops, fine. Sometimes people want it to stop, then they fret that it stopped. Am I stopping it on purpose with aversion? It should be able to keep going. No, it's like it is. It's just like it is in this moment. This moment's how it is. The next moment it could be different, you know. So just tuning into that. And as I'm sure most of you are familiar with, the like a thought that comes frequently, a whole story with a lot of impact, pleasant, unpleasant, scary, wanting, whatever, planning, with a lot of impact or keeps coming. And awareness comes and you recognize, oh, planning, but it just has this, you know, energy. Then it's helpful to kind of recognize with the awareness, kind of widen the field of awareness and recognize that that's not only thought is occurring, but also including the wider field. There's almost always with us one that has a lot of impact, there's emotional energy that's coming along with it, underneath it. And so widening the awareness just to include that in the awareness, because that's what's happening. So I'm just picking planning. So sometimes planning could be driven by a kind of anxiety. Or sometimes planning is driven by wanting. Oh, I could do this. I could paint it blue. I could paint it pink. I could rearrange it. Sometimes it's driven by total boredom. You know, this isn't pleasant. What I said, the Buddha said, we only know how to get away from unpleasant by creating something pleasant, going for pleasant sense experience. You're sitting here, nothing else to do. The mind can come up with some lulus, you know, just to get out of feeling sitting. So noticing that, but when you feel it has a charge, widening and just if recognizing if there's an emotional, you know, tone with it, including that in the awareness. That's all. You don't have to go looking. You don't have to go searching. Tejaniya says, though, he does give some example of actually skillful means. So this is if you're feeling a little settled and wanting to play with awareness of thoughts. He says, remember, a thought is just another object of awareness that can help us to develop awareness. Just like hearing, just like anything, I'm thinking. Like I was just walking out there. I wasn't like labeling, but seeing and the freshness and the coolness and hearing. And then just I could really feel thinking happening. And that actually, again, was an arising, awareness. It was, again, an entree into awareness, not a problem. So just notice if you've gotten in the habit, even subliminally, of relating to thinking as a problem and in meditation. And just then you feel that, oh yeah, problem energy feels like this. But he does say, he's advising people and working with it, how to be aware of thought, that if you find you're always getting lost when you try to be aware of thought, just recognize the thought. Just acknowledge thinking is happening, but say it's planning and you keep getting really sucked in. And you know it, but just the energy of sucking you in is stronger than the energy of mindfulness. I put it that way to help you recognize it's not personal. It's not that you're getting sucked in because you're doing a bad job. It's because planning arises with, say, wanting and awareness is there, but the energy of the mindfulness isn't as strong as the wanting in Zoom. So when you recognize that, so you recognize, oh, planning, thinking, you feel the energy, but then just let it be, and this is a skillful means to refresh the awareness. At that point, let the awareness land with whatever else had been going on. So say I was walking and the thinking came up, I was aware of thinking, but then rather than going down the road with it, I didn't stop it, it's just doing its thing, but felt the walking again. Just gently, that's where you can use something really neutral and available. Not that it's a better object, but to refresh the awareness that, oh yeah, right, and I could paint it pink. Oh yeah, yeah, planning, and then feeling the walking. Oh, and then I could do this, planning, feeling. So we're just playing with it, just playing with the different ways thought comes, but recognizing it's just as useful away into awareness as anything else. It's not the enemy. Because certainly in our life, thought can be very useful. As I think, was it Dingo Kensi? I think it's Dingo Kensi said, thought or thinking is a very useful servant, but a terrible master. So mostly, like Einstein said, look at the world, how do you see the world? And he said, lost in thought. So this is like, okay, let's bring this into the field of awareness, understand it, you know? So that's my little pep talk on awareness of thought. Okay, go. Because I'm assuming you've been like just pristinely aware the whole time of hearing and thinking and sitting. I mean, it is kind of funny in the style that we have formal sitting, formal walking, but we just, you know, the structure helps us, obviously. But there's nothing magic about the amount of time to sit and walk. If this was a longer retreat and the room, there's more space, we wouldn't, like when we do this style on a longer retreat, a lot of the day we don't have a formal structure. People sit and walk in their own rhythm because you're choosing to sit not for some good amount of time, but what helps support the awareness. So if you're feeling at the end of the time I ring the bell and you're just feeling quite aware and balanced, you'd want to keep sitting, that's fine. You know, well, here it's a little more awkward, but it's fine. Or sometimes people find after 20 minutes they're really present, but then anxiety comes up and they're aware of anxiety, but it's so strong, it's taking over, and sitting here and trying to be aware of anxiety is just turning into a fight, whereas standing and walking with that energy refreshes the awareness and brings more continuity to be following in your own rhythm. So just to say that, you know, it's not so that we don't subconsciously turn the sitting or the walking into the magic awareness time. It can start to spread out to the whole day. Okay. That's really it now. And just, you know, recognizing as you begin the so-called formal sit, is there more recognizing awareness or more trust of it in a formal sit? Does the mind somehow make that special, which is not right or wrong? We're just noticing the habits that get created. And as earlier, I'm guiding, but it's like each of us find our own way to relax with ease and presence into the body-mind experience of this moment. It's like this now. That ease of relaxing into how the body's sitting, just feeling whatever sensations. If there's a sense of tension or narrowness in the heart mind, see, just noticing that and allow what's ever here to be here. Pleasant, unpleasant, happy, sad. It's just, you don't have to name it, but just let it arise in the field of awareness and mindfulness. Not to do anything about, not to become anything different, just to be awake. Right now. And if awareness, attention feels lost, there's always the sensations of sitting, sensations that come with the breathing, or hearing to reignite awareness, reignite recognition of, oh yeah. Hearing and knowing it. Sensation and knowing it. What's the attitude feel coming with the awareness? Interest? A little disconnected? Anxious? Wanting? Relaxed? Present? Accepting, resisting. Or sometimes you just can feel tightness in the heart mind or ease. You don't have to look for all those words. There's tightness, there's usually some wanting resistance. Ease, interest, presence, or total spaced out can also be ease. And then you'll notice that naturally. Here and now. Resting at ease in whatever arises right now. However it is in this moment, this is the truth of this moment. Just being present with kind awareness for this moment of life. So but we could take a little time now if you have any questions or comments about practice or any of the instructions. And also I'm interested if there's anything you noticed about going home last night at all. So anything, any questions, anything up for anybody? Yes, please. Can you all hear him? No. So I mentioned I had several years of what he said I called focusing or concentrating practice.
It seems that some teachers say that that's a first stage that you need to go through.
Right.
Before,
some teachers do say that, that it's a first stage you need to go through. As I've said in yesterday, there's lots of different angles of Vipassana, and how to say I've So I've only practiced a few. I found all of them valuable. So I can only speak for myself. I'm going to say, like my experience, say, in Burma or Thailand, for example. Well, to go to Burma, where I've done some practice, and some of, like the Mahasisado technique, which is that noting technique, comes from Burma. Goenka technique, Uba Khin, comes from Burma. What I'm offering you now, Sayadaw Tejaniya, also comes from Burma. And in fact, his teacher, Shwe Yu Min, was Mahasi's chosen successor. So even within that, there's different angles to come in. And my experience there is that each guy, it's usually a guy, says, this is the way you've got to do it. And certainly in what one is offering, there has to be a confidence that this is really helpful. I can only say, just from my experience and being exposed to a lot in the West, that I find different angles coming in are supportive for different personalities. I could never say, you have to do it. You have to start with concentration. That's the only way in. I know for myself that's just not true. It's really useful, you know? And so I can't say what other teachers say, but there can be a tendency to say, you have to do it this way. And in here in the West, where we actually have access to so many different styles, that's both a bounty and a problem. Right? Because when we're going around, well, this doesn't feel right, let me try this, but based on what? Until we've really practiced for a while and seen ways this, any particular style, is helpful in terms of deepening awareness and wisdom, or not. And each style has its limitations and its strengths. So we have the bounty of, take that concentration. For some people, really focusing with a lot of energy, it suits their personality, it works well. For many people, they get so caught in striving, and if they didn't know there was another way, I know people that kind of crashed and burned and couldn't meditate for several years. But that doesn't mean the style's bad. I know people that's really helped. It really helped me. So we have the option, but we have to find how to balance without it turning into supermarket. And so at the bottom line, only you can know for you, right? To me, and I'm only speaking for me, that's the bottom line. Yeah, yeah, it's tricky. Good, yeah, yeah, yeah. So looking and seeing what works for us. Yes?
Carol, you mentioned the word labeling earlier.
Mm.
And that seems to be an impediment for me, labeling and naming.
An impediment? It doesn't work, yeah? Okay.
It seems to get in the way.
Okay.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that's a particular style. Actually, when I talk about Mahasi style, where in the middle part of that practice, you know, the mind's connecting with each object, and there's just this soft mental note, hearing, seeing, thinking. It can be really useful. It takes some getting used to. It's like any tool. You've got to learn how to use it. And it could be in the way. You're actually just like an adjunct of what I was just saying to him. So if you wanted to explore that style more, I wouldn't be doing it this weekend, because that's not really what we're doing here.
Are you calling that a style?
Labeling, yeah. Yeah, it's part of the Mahasi tradition. But here, are you trying to label everything?
Well, for instance, when I was walking, I couldn't look at a tree and just observe it without naming it.
Oh, okay, that's good. I'm glad you said that. You're not doing that. That's just happening, right? So I wouldn't call that. That's actually, I could get in the whole Abhidhamma. But this is, And the Buddha talks about nama, mind, qualities of mind that arise in every moment. Perception is very specific, that's one. Perception is the quality of seeing, and the perception is based on memory, and it might recognize tree. It might say, there might be the word tree, or the recognition of tree, or it might be the recognition of maple. That's just happening. It's actually based on memory and past experience. So in a longer retreat, I talk about that a lot, because perception, we think absolutely that's a tree, absolutely that's a maple tree, but our perception is based on our background, our culture, our history, and perceptions aren't all the same. So don't worry about that. It just occurring. You actually can, that's the next thing that awareness can notice, rather than feeling it's in the way. So when you think it's in the way, what's it in the way of?
I think it's blocking my, I feel like it's blocking my full perception.
And what would full perception be?
I feel like it puts a screen between me and the object, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
In terms of appreciating it.
Okay. Noticing all of those, you know, feelings or ideas about it, because you're not going to be able to stop it. It's occurring naturally. There might be times when the mind is so quiet that it doesn't arise, but pretty much it arises in every moment. The idea it shouldn't, it's blocking all of that, is a particular idea that we have. That would be, so recognizing perception is occurring. You don't have to say all of that. Oh, tree, verbal. That's the next arising experience awareness notices. And I mean, this is subtle, but this is what we do. What I was reading in the beginning, just recognizing what's happening as it is, wanting it to be other, is exactly expectation. So the idea this is blocking the full perception and really appreciating, it's subtle, but it's the whole idea of it should be other than it is right now. And so we can't see, oh, this is how the mind works, basically. They're seeing immediately perception comes in. Doesn't have to be a problem. The aversion wanting to go away is. Then you know, oh, what's the problem here? Tree or, I want it back like it was. I had that moment, it was like this, and I want to get back. That's how it's supposed to be. And that's when our mind, this was so pure. I mean, I'm making this up, you didn't say this. This was so pure, pristine. This is really appreciating. And then the mind goes, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. And then we beat our head against the wall, trying to stop a natural process to get back to how it's supposed to be. Did you see what I mean? So I'm exaggerating, but this is a great example. Yeah, good. Does that help at all? yeah, great. Yes, please.
Last night I realized that I was thundering down the highway with, you know, a ton of metal. Just riding on God knows what.
Riding down the highway on a ton of metal, right? Mm-hmm.
So that fear had to go quickly.
Oh, it was fear. Okay, fear.
Arose
with fear.
Am I in control?
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I had to let that go and just concentrate.
Uh-huh.
You know, what was next.
Uh-huh.
So this morning when you said that the thought...
Could you all hear her? No? She's going down the highway, realized all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I'm like at the wheel of a ton of metal thundering down. Am I in control? And fear arose. And she said, I had to let go of that fear quickly and just come back to focusing on steering. Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I do get caught up in thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I can never stop them.
You do get caught up in thoughts. Imagine that. Yeah. Got to work on that one, huh? I know, we do.
So it's very helpful to put it in that category.
Yeah.
All those other sensory things.
Yeah.
Because then it doesn't have the weight.
That's right.
This is the thought. Oh, God, here's trouble.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. Exactly. That's beautiful. Because fear, you know, like Ajit Tejaniya likes to say, you know, each thing is doing its job. Perception's doing its job, tree, you know. Fear's doing its job. Something's bad, wrong, get the heck out of here. That's fear's job, you know. And so when we read, oh, fear is like this. It doesn't have to. You know, awareness can kind of, it kind of diffuses it. It helps me in life, in my daily life a lot when I feel caught up. Just in anything, all of a sudden I can, caught up, feels like this, really, caught up. And then I'll start analyzing, that's the habit, and go, it's just thinking. And when I realize, as intense as this is just a thought and an emotion, that's what it is, that's all it is. You know, it's so liberating. It still feels how it feels, but that's all it is. It doesn't have to drive the bus. Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the power. Okay. Yeah, back there. Yeah. The difference between being aware of think anything and labeling. So how do you experience labeling? What are you calling labeling? Oh, you don't. Oh, I see. You don't have to. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you're saying thinking or feeling, which is labeling. I would call that labeling. And what was the effect of that? I mean, does it... okay, so there's not aversion, always helpful. And so in terms of... So it's in that way that she's saying it, that's more like what I was saying, labeling is a technique or a tool, thinking, feeling. So in any technique, any skillful means... When I say, what's the effect, you kind of notice, is it supporting awareness of being with feeling, like it helps you be with feeling, or is it kind of like you just start thinking about feeling rather than feeling feeling, if you know what I mean? That's when it's an impediment. Like, oh yeah, thinking, but it's like suddenly not there. Well, you know what? That not. The next arising is coming by itself. You're not planning the next arising. We don't. Okay, I'm ready for the next arising now. Not in our control. It sounds like you're fairly present, like it's supporting presence, it sounds like. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, don't go looking for some awareness. It's kind of just knowing. You could say, recognizing awareness is just kind of like a knowing. It's not a thing we look at and see. No, you don't need to say anything. You don't need to say anything, bottom line. That's it. Either way, there's not a better. It's like, okay. Like when I was saying as a tool, am I aware? Remember, that's like a tool to drop in because we do need to have a little bit of intention, of effort, of energy to remember awareness. Then as it begins to get a little momentum, becomes a bit more natural, which it may do, you know, over sitting and walking the weekend, or it may in your life, you don't have to keep dropping it in. You can tell. And then you'll suddenly realize there hasn't been awareness for a while. But it really feels different, you know? So then you make, oh, am I aware? And then you are. And you don't need to keep saying every minute, I'm aware, I'm aware. So you explore. This is where we learn to have confidence in our own practice and using the skillful means, recognizing that the skillful means are in service of not feeling better or having which it's subtle. That can get subtle. But the skillful means is really what helps to refresh the awareness, to balance the sense of presence or help re-arise awareness. So if labeling something helps to drop into, oh, here I am again, like my mind can be all scattered. I'm sitting and thinking, and I'm like pseudo-aware. You know what I mean? Pseudo, yeah, I'm aware. I mean, at least I know I'm here, but that's about it. And if I just, because I did that labeling practice for years, if I just go, oh, feeling, sensing, thinking, boom, awareness is right there. I don't have to keep doing it, so it's supportive. But then if I start getting like, you know, fixated on it, I got to know everything. Is that thinking? No, is it pain? No, I'm getting all tense. I go, that's not helpful. That's feeding tension. So skillful means arises out of a moment of presence and balanced seeing. Yeah. So you're not going to get a right or wrong answer, as you can see. But explore, it's a great question. So, yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Uh-huh.
I feel the wind, I feel this, uh-huh. And then you can get quite granular with
Wait a minute. Could you all hear her? Okay. She was saying, I was talking a different. Okay, but let me just repeat what you said. That'll be great, though. The different levels of notes, and I'm glad you brought up, again, the wide, kind of wide angle, 360 degrees, you know, you're feeling the wind, you're hearing, and then it can get quite precise, quite granular, and you're seeing this causes this. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, going to the granular level seems to require more concentration. What are you calling concentration?
Well, paying attention more.
So you feel a more of a sense of deliberate focus and aiming. Okay.
Like
that's not concentration, that's deliberate focus, which might lead to a more absorbed kind of concentration. So yeah,
well,
right?
Where I'm going with this, though, is you were talking about relaxing into more focus and
Right.
Energy, right. Which was different than relaxing.
Right. So I have two questions. One, what was the motivation in going to the granular level with more focus and energy?
What is granular level?
Really precise, kind of like seeing things in a very precise, small level rather than the whole thing. Looking like, for example, say I was feeling the sensation, instead of feeling my whole hand, I'm feeling a little tingling in my palm. Something like that.
The motivation was around certain patterns that happen all the time. And looking at them more, this leads to this.
Okay. So you were looking at it. Can you get a sense of what was the attitude in the mind that was driving the looking?
It was actually, I found it very helpful.
Okay.
Level.
Good. Okay.
Kind of like interest.
Interest. Okay,
and
good.
It was like, oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, fine. Okay. Okay.
Like
yeah, that's fine. For two things. One, it's not. Yeah. Once we understand. That's why my mind goes in different directions. It's true as there are times as we working in the. It's not always more global. There's times that just steady awareness just naturally becomes more precise. And I want to say concentration is in both ways. Concentration just isn't narrow and precise. That's not the only way concentration manifests, which is why I said that. It's the stability that can be aware of hearing and seeing and this, and there's a steadiness there. That's also concentration samadhi. For sure, when the attitude in the mind that's aware is balanced, when it's not wanting, trying to get something, we can then use any technique. We can take that, say, okay, there's a sense of this is occurring. Let's really direct the attention a little more precisely here. And if you're aware of the attitude and it's interest and it's not wanting and it doesn't get into striving, that's fine. So it's not exactly relaxed, but it's not striving. It's not pushing. If it turns to striving and pushing, which it so easily does until we really understand when the attitude in the mind isn't with kalesa in it, then it's easy. Well, I'm just interested, but pretty soon, not only not relaxing, it's really. But there's times when the attention can be very precise and focused, and it is not stressful. It is not tiring. If it's tiring, for sure there's some striving going on. And then we just notice, how does that feel in the mind? So it's worth exploring. Yeah, but you check the attitude. What's the motivation giving rise to that decision? I want to know this. It could be just, oh, that's interesting. Let's look at I want to know this because I don't like what's happening and I want to. So all of that's included in the awareness.
Yeah.
It's how we learn. Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah, behind her, yeah.
I just wanted to say that I had that experience yesterday.
Mm-hmm. She had that experience yesterday. Right. Can you all hear her?
So
okay, sure.
Some of the logistics that I thought were appropriate.
Mm-hmm. This is in your mind, sitting here. Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
This is sort of, and then when I actually reached out to somebody who would be involved in this.
You mean after here, yeah.
Yeah, after sort of thinking about how to perhaps set the scene and let it evolve naturally.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Which is not who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
The other person just made one comment and everything evaporated.
Yeah, that's how it goes, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You felt so grateful because the whole thing just evaporated. Yeah.
It's kind of like
yeah.
Agenda game, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Castles in the air, kind of. I love that when I'm on retreat, actually, and I see my mind planning out all how something's going to. So it's doing that. You can be aware of planning. That's fine. But I have learned, it go all the, whatever the mind plans, it's going to be other. It's never going to be the way that it's all planned out. That's great. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, oh, it's like this stuff. Great. What else? Anything about here? Anything about going home? Was there one moment of awareness going home or never occurred? Never occurred again. You said there was. Yeah, the Brock.
When I was coming here this morning, so it wasn't exactly home.
That counts. Only because I have to report.
So I did notice a couple of times, just sort of maybe a little fantasy or a little imaginary conversation going on some awareness, and then it kind of dissipated. So sometimes, though, say today, that wasn't a lot of energy with that.
Right, kind of came up and just poofed away, yeah.
And
yeah.
But then, so seems like there's two kinds of thought, or I'm sure there's more, but one is when you see it and it just does that.
Yeah.
And another where it just keeps on going.
Right, right. Right,
hard.
Yeah,
so
right. Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't seem to be useful to watch this and be aware, but it's kind of got a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was just my experience.
Just his experience.
Useful to temporarily kind of direct the attention away from
Yeah. Could you all hear him? Yeah. Useful in terms of, when you say useful in terms of supporting what? Do you think there was like aversion in the coming back, or just like, you know, this is just kind of sucking me and I could just refresh the awareness, or a kind of aversion to the thought? Because we always get down to looking at that.
I'm not sure, but it did, I guess it seemed like I was getting, I'm not present.
Right. Yeah. And then it's helpful. Yeah, that's kind of like what Tejaniya was saying. You know, we just practice. We see that the mind's getting sucked in. It's just not stuck. So it can be very helpful, just as Brock says, to bring the attention to something more neutral and present. And when I ask about aversion, that's not like good or bad, but it's really always just noticing what's the attitude in the mind, because that's what's leading to our actions. That's the intentions that leads to actions of mind, speech, and body. So we just want to notice. Because if we get in the habit, it sounds like it wasn't, but if we get in the habit of, you know, moving away from thought or anything, out of aversion, and we don't notice that aversion, that's the habit that's being strengthened. Once we recognize it, oh, yeah, that's aversion, in that moment, awareness isn't averse. But then you can also recognize, no, this just isn't skillful, connecting with the breath, and there's a sense of the quality in the mind that's aware, and it's just present, it's not averse, and this is supporting awareness. Feel the breath, you know, so that, yeah, the skillful means. Yeah, yeah.
So, I noticed that I was focusing on my breath.
Uh-huh, focusing on it, which you love doing, okay. You can love it, that's good. We don't hate it.
And I this little snort.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, okay, so that's how it is.
Okay. Yeah. No, well, I don't know if there's aversion to it. I don't know if there's aversion to it. I don't think the falling asleep is a form of aversion. It's really classical, cause and effect again, not personal. So here I'm going to go to the. Should I go to the five or the seven? I'll go to the five. It's easier. So the five spiritual faculties, the five qualities, wholesome qualities that we all experience with that are developed in meditation. Some are, and they're mindfulness, effort or energy, virya, faith or sada, which is like confidence to do. I'm not doing it in order. So faith, energy, mindfulness, which we're talking about, samadhi, collectedness, and wisdom. Okay, so energy or effort is an energizing quality in the mind. Samadhi, concentration, is a calming quality in the mind. And so these qualities, they strengthen and they balance as our meditation gets more balanced, you know. So too much energy, we get too much meaning more energy than a balance of mindfulness. Mindfulness balances everything. So your mindfulness noticed that this is what's happening. So that's great. First recognizing that's awareness, noticing the process, and we get interested in it. That's how awareness works. So first, that's the most salient point of everything you said, rather than making it a problem. But just, oh, that, look at that. You start to see cause and effect. I really focus on the breath. I love it. It's pleasant. All of a sudden, asleep. That's interesting. Let me try again. Do it again. Focus on the breath. Pleasant, asleep. So awareness is noticing the process with interest. And it can do that with anything. That's great. And now I'm just giving you the information. So we call that sinking mind. It's a meditative term. That basically means the calming factor, samadhi, is stronger than the energizing factor, which is also interest, effort. And so it's really connected and then goes to sleep because there's not much interest. There's not the quality of energy. So I should have done the seven rather than the five. Okay, now I'm going to do the seven. The seven are mindfulness, and then there's three energizing ones. Energy, effort, as I said. Interest, you could say. Dhamma investigations, interest. Like, oh, what's happening? It's kind of a light in the mind. It's not thinking, you know. And piti, rapture, which is really like a joyful quality of interest. We can't create that. It happens. The calming ones are calm, samadhi, and equanimity. So again, when you notice, and this is skillful means when the quality in the awareness is interest, not aversion. Oh, look at that. Look at that. You have this piece of information. That means there's a lot of calm and concentration. Let's balance it with a little bit of interest. So in terms of working with breath, you'd bring the interest in to feel the sensations of the breath. Oh, la, la, really feel. Notice, you know, if the in-breath, when does it stop? How does it turn to the out-breath? How does the out-breath stop? How does it turn to the in-breath? How does it feel? You're not asking these things, but it's a quality of interest that one brings in. Now, it is a little like sloth and torpor, you know. As Upandita said, sloth and torpor hates effort. So when it's nice and it's calm and it's pleasant and you think, well, I need to take a little interest. And you think, no, this is just really focused. This is fine. This is good. You know that, oh, okay. But I can do, you know. So it's just information to explore. It's all just, you know, very cause and effect, not personal. But I wouldn't call that aversion, no.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just if there's... Well, I hope it's not like clunk. Okay, just one last, if there's any last comment or question or...
Yeah,